I don't see how we can be the same after the meetings we've had this weekend. It has done a work in my heart. And I'm sure it's done a work in yours. I feel a little broken tonight. But I want to be able to lead the service and we'll do what God wants. But it's hard when you feel broken and the tears are flowing. And it's hard for me to turn them off. I am thankful. I came here with kind of hard pressed, you know, with cares and things, and had some situations that had been on my mind, and they were weighing on me. But the Lord has a way of taking things and making a release, and giving us that faith to believe. But all these things are in His hands. And from the ones that's come to the altars, and you can see their lives changing and that things are happening. It makes this, what's going around in the world, seem strangely dim. I look more and more for the millennial reign of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think that should be in our hearts more and more, the kingdom of God. And Him reigning and ruling in us and ruling in the world. And if you would not, if you wouldn't mind, I would like to read you two or three verses in Isaiah 2 before we start singing, because I can't get away. I can't get away from it. When I was reading it this morning, I just broke. And I don't know why. It's something that is glorious, but to me, these things happen, and in seeing this land fixed in the right authority. We got a mess in America, as you probably know. And to see that one day it won't be a mess. That God's rule and reign will be there, and Jesus will be Lord of lords and King of kings. But I saw these three or four verses like I've never seen them before. And I can almost, although this may be talking about Israel, but I think it says the latter days in my New King James Version. But I'm reading from the King James Version. But this right here is what the Lord is going to do when He comes here on earth. But also He is bringing out an order within us that is holy and righteous. And that excites me. And I know it excites you. In verse 2 of chapter 2, and it says, "Shall come to pass in the last days that the mountain of the house of the Lord shall be established in the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow into it." So it's not just talking about Israel. This is a ruling place for the Lord, King of kings and Lord of lords. "And many people shall go and say, 'Come, let us go unto the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, and He will teach us of His ways, and we will walk in His paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem.'" Isn't it going to be wonderful that instead of hearing the garbage that we're hearing today, that we'll hear the word of the Lord throughout all nations? "And He shall judge among the nations." The one that is sitting on the white horse and got on his thigh the word of God, and he's crowned King of kings and Lord of lords, "shall judge among the nations and rebuke many people, set in order His kingdom. And they shall beat their swords into plowshares." We won't be hearing about ISIS this and all the troubles here and this, that, and that going on, and all the disturbances we're hearing, because they won't be able to. For our Lord of lords will rule them with a rod of iron. Hallelujah. "And beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. Even so, come, Lord Jesus." I'm just thrilled. And I just don't, I have a couple of songs on my heart, but I just trying to figure which way to go. But right now, You know, I like to sing and clap and rejoice in the Lord. I've always been that way. But I feel kind of a little bit quieter in my spirit. We may sing a song or two. We got some prayer requests here, and someone will probably minister later on. But this song has been in my heart, and I sang it before the meeting there. But it's the thing that I really, a song I really like. And it's called "In Moments Like These." And it's found in 32 in the back of your song book. And I think that all of us who have been touched by the Master can sing this song like we've never sung it before tonight. In moments like these, I sing out a song because He's forgiven me and I've forgiven others. In moments like these, I sing out a love song to Jesus because He came and washed my sins away. In moments like these, I lift up my voice. I lift up my voice unto the Lord. Singing, "I love you, Lord." And I know without a shadow of a doubt that we love Him tonight. How can you put into words how much you love Him? Who takes us in our frailties and washes us and cleanses us and makes things right and heals us and establishes us. It does so many things for us. So many times He's come and made things right for us. And let's sing unto Him tonight and tell Him how much we love Him. Let's stand. In moments like these, I sing out a song. I sing out a love song to Jesus. In moments like these, I lift up my voice. I lift up where things are so upside down. But in these moments, like we've said, that He has come to us and visited with us this weekend in such a beautiful way. Oh, it's just so wonderful. Praise His name. Let's sing it again. In moments like these, I sing out a song. I lift up my voice. I lift up. not far from that in your book, you'll see on page 88. When I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround me become shadows in the light of you, when I have found the joy of reaching the heart, when my will becomes enthroned in your love, when all things that surround me come shadows in the light of you. Isn't that what happened this weekend? Shadows in the light of you. When I look into your holiness, when I look into your love, page 88 in the back of the book, I'm shadowed in the light of pick them up pretty much. I didn't know y'all didn't have this in the back of your book. But it says, when I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround me become shadows in the light of you, when I have found, oh, that's the greatest find there is, the joy of reaching your heart, when my will becomes enthroned in your love, when all things that surround me become shadows in the light of you, I worship you. I worship you. The reason I live and the reason you live is to worship him. Amen? I worship you. I worship you. The reason I live is to worship you. When I look into your holiness, when I gaze into your loveliness, when all things that surround me become shadowed in the light of you. Joy of reaching your heart.
you, God. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Lord. Glory to God. As the deer panted for the water, my soul it cried to you. You are my life, my home, where you are.
to his name. Praise him, praise him, praise him. Oh, for he is good and his mercy endureth forever. Oh, glory to his name. Praise him. Just praise the Lord for his goodness. Oh, hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to the Lord. Hallelujah. Holy, holy art thou, Lord God Almighty. Praise his name. Oh, wonderful Lord. Oh, glory to God. We exalt thee, O Lord. Oh, praise his name. Glory, honor, and praise unto thee, O Lord God. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, Lord. Thou art worthy, O Lord. Praise his holy name. Glory, 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 glory. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise him for his mercy. Endure it forever. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Lord. Oh, glory, glory. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Glory, glory to God. Praise his name. Oh, wonderful, wonderful Lord. Thank you, Lord, for all thy mercies and goodness. Oh, praise his name. Yes. Yes, amen. Oh, praise his name. Oh,
dwell with thee, saith the Lord. Even as I have dwelt with Israel of old, I shall dwell with thee. And I shall have a closer communion with thee, saith the Lord, because you delight to do my will.
Yes, amen, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to God.
Knew the strength and power of his God, and he knew it was greater than any of his enemies. Yea, my strength is sufficient for thee, saith the Lord, and let your enemies draw nigh, and yes, I shall overcome them with my power, saith the Lord. Hallelujah.
Yes, amen.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
Thus saith the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
You do not know what everything that I have done for you. I have given you life. Yet what has this world done for you? Do not concentrate on the world. Concentrate on me and give me your praise.
Amen.
Amen, Lord.
O thou people of the Most High,
I say unto thee, yea, rejoice forevermore. For is not the Lord thy God, is he not victorious? Yea, did he not come down, yea, from on high, yea, to show man the way, yea, back home to the Father? Has he not shown you the victorious path? Has he not shown you the power and the might of the Father? Yea, that does work through those, yea, who are surrendered to him. O my people, yea, it is the Father's good pleasure, yea, to share with you his joy. It is his pleasure to share with you his work. Yea, he does desire to work through you. He desires for you to stretch forth your hand. And as you stretch forth your hand, are you not stretching forth his hand? Does not his spirit, yea, dwell within thee? Does his not spirit flow out from thee? Is he not eternal? Is he not the eternal God? The God, yea, that said, I am that I am. He has come to dwell within you. Give him glory. Give him praise. For he is worthy.
Yes.
He alone is worthy. He alone is worthy of your praise and your glory.
Amen.
There is no gift that you can bring to him that is worthy of his praise, that is worthy of his glory and his majesty. All he asks is that your heart be given to him, saith the Lord.
Amen, Lord. Glory to God. Praise the Lord.
Fight your battles. There are battles warring that you have no idea about, but I am fighting them for you. Yea, my people, dwell close to me, and I will draw you closer than you can ever imagine and protect you.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Did I not make a way? My people, I shall give you the confidence, I shall give you the strength in my spirit, that thou shalt break down the barriers of Satan and that set the captives free.
Yes.
Fear thou not, for my word shall come to pass. Those things that seem to be impossible shall not be impossible. For through me all things are possible. So saith the Lord.
Amen. Hallelujah.
For there is none other like unto thy God, who doest all things well,
who has created all things, who has created the universe, but yet he loves you. He loves you with an undying love. He sent his son to die on the cross for you. But he didn't stay in the grave. He rose again on the third day. And he is now seated at the right hand of God to intercede on your behalf. He is your advocate. He proved his love, the Lord Jesus Christ. And he is still doing his work, though it is finished. He is doing his work in you. So yield fully.
Yes.
Seek the Lord thy God. Commit thy life and thy will wholly unto him, that he might complete his work in you. That is his desire, and it shall be done, saith the Lord.
Glory to God. Hallelujah.
seeking to anoint the king of Israel, that whom I have chosen. Yea, Jesse looked past his youngest son David, tending the sheep. Yea, as he was an unlikely candidate. Yea, he was not one that thou would look for. But yea, that is who God had chosen to lead Israel. Yea, just as thyself, as you look upon yourself, you see an unlikely candidate, someone unworthy, someone insufficient. But yea, my people, know ye this, that I have chosen you, my anointed one. Yea, know ye this, that even before you were formed in your mother's womb, that I have chosen a way for you, that I have called you by name, and I anointed thee to do a work that only thou can do in this world. Yea, my people, know ye this, that I have given that unto you. Yea, my people, it starts in your home. Nay, do thou not know that thou art anointed? Thy home is anointed by the living God. Yea, thy church is anointed. Yea, my people, thou must come unto me, for it is nothing in yourself that you can do, but as you would lay yourself before me with a humble heart, contrite unto the Lord thy God, I shall do a work within thee, a work which only thou can do in your home and in your family and in your workplace and in your church, your local assembly. Yea, thou shalt be the bearer of my spirit, and let thy gifts be stirred up within thee, thus saith the Lord. Yea, look not to the left and to the right. Yea, no, do not look at thy neighbor, for I have called you to a special calling, my people. Yea, seek me for that anointing, for I have anointed you. I have called thee by name, and thou shalt be successful, thus saith the Lord.
Hallelujah. Glory to God.
I am the God who calls those things which are not as though they were. Yea, I am the God who makes all things new. I am the God who delights to part the seas. Yea, I am the God who delights to put the enemy to rout. Yea, I am the God of the unexpected, saith the Lord. Yea, look unto me. Yea, and look about your heart, and find the thing that is the greatest barrier to you. Find the thing that is the highest mountain to you. Yea, find the thing that you find incurable, saith the Lord. Yea, and bring these to me, saith the Lord, and I shall give unto thee that which your heart desires. I shall heal. I shall conquer. Yea, thou shalt be victorious. Thou shalt have the victory, saith the Lord, for I bring life out of death, saith the Lord. I bring sons out of the worthless.
Okay. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Worthy of honor and worthy of glory and worthy of praise is Thee. Worthy of honor and worthy of glory and worthy of praise is Thee.
Prayer requests, and
I wonder if Wayne Peters and maybe Nat would come up here and help me with these, please. Nat had a prayer request, too, that he wanted to bring, and I mean, Wayne did, so. I can't read this very well. Claudine Denny, please pray for my sister. She has had a bad head injury for 10 years. She has to get freeze shots in the back of her head once a month to get any relief from the exhausting, I think, pain, excruciating pain. She cannot live a normal life because of the pain. But what I really asked is that she give her life over to Jesus again. It would give her so much more peace. Wilma, dear, let's bow our heads. Lord, this lady is suffering something, Lord, that is very hard on the flesh, Lord. To have to, Lord, to endure pain day after day, year after year is an unbearable thing. Lord, as this sister is interceding for her sister, Lord, she wants her to have relief.
Yes, amen.
But Lord, we know that relief comes from you. And this sister is maybe discerning that her sister needs to draw close to the Lord again. But in a situation like this, maybe she has an inability to because of these great pains that she's having. Lord, you can reach beyond the pain and touch the heart. And you can save, and you can bring and make alive, and you can heal. So Lord, we ask for your grace, for your mercy on this lady, and that she will see you in this and be delivered.
Yes, in Jesus' name.
But mainly, Lord, that she will find you in a greater way.
Yes, sir.
And come back to you, Lord, with all her heart and see you in a different light.
Yes.
We reach out, Lord, in faith and ask that you will heal her now.
Yes.
And save her, Lord, for your sake. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
A friend of Brian Hannigan's, Ofofono, Nigerian. Ofofono loves the Lord and walks with us in the kingdom hour. Recently, his sister Victoria, a devout Christian, has turned to witchcraft and is harassing him with curses and death threats. It is now affecting their elderly parents with distress. Please pray that Victoria will be delivered from Satan's power and be restored. We join our hearts together tonight. We ask, Lord, for you to move by the Spirit of God through the distance. Lord, you are the great I am.
Yes.
Father, we don't understand how someone could turn to the greater power, or from to the lesser power from the greater power.
Yes.
And Father, we We ask you, Lord, to intervene for this sister. We ask, Lord, that you would restore her. We pray, Lord, that you would take just change her life and give her the desire to walk with God.
Amen.
Father, amen, Lord. We ask that the Holy Spirit would just intervene this very hour in Jesus' name. Amen.
Praise the Lord.
This is from Avon Olson in Grand Prairie. Please pray for my friend's sister, Wheezy. She has cancer and is in palliative care. She hasn't eaten for 13 days, and the doctors have given up on her. She does believe in Jesus and does have faith in his promises. We would like God's will for her life. Heavenly Father, we just pray for Wheezy, Lord. Lord, we pray by your mercy that you would raise her up. But Lord, if that isn't to be, we pray even right now that, Lord, you will take her quickly home to you. Lord, whether she stays and is raised up or goes, may her life and her example there, even in the palliative care, be a blessing to those around her, a blessing to those that are serving her, Lord. Lord, the presence of the Holy Spirit be with her right now in the room where she is and touch everyone around her, Lord, that they might know that you are there, Lord, helping her and being with her in her time of need. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes, Lord. Amen. This is for Edith Wright. My mom has requested prayer for a minor surgery she is having on Wednesday. She'll be put out for it and is nervous about that. She also is desiring more mobility in her left hand after the two strokes she suffered this past June. Thank you, Cheryl Olson. Lord, we pray for Edith tonight, Lord, that you will do a mighty work in her, Lord. Lord, I remind you of the scriptures that you have not given us a spirit of fear, but a sound mind and body. Because we belong to you, Lord. And I know, Lord, these things can cause anxiety and, Lord, fears, but because they're the unknown. But, Lord, you can take it away and give our sister peace, Lord, because that's what you gave us all, that peace that passeth all understanding. And, Lord, you can give her strength and a faith in her heart that it's going to be all right. That the God who says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you, is with her through this surgery. And that, Lord, that there'll be healing for her. And there'll be a change in her, Lord. So we ask that you touch this hand or whatever is amiss here. And, Lord, that you will do a wonderful thing for her. And that we'll glorify you in what you're going to do for Edith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
For Matthew, Phyllis Shepherd's 11-year-old son, January of 2016, Matthew was put in a psychiatric treatment center for 2 years. They recently deemed him as a sociopath and a sexual predator. He has expressed the desire to kill. They also are suspecting split personality. They feel the need to protect the rest of society. This center specializes for kids like him. He's had to be restrained on several occasions for trying to get violent. Please pray for him that all this torment will stop, that Satan's power will be broken. Phyllis Shepherd, Edmonton. Lord, you told us that what we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. We know, Lord, that there is a realm of the Spirit that is very much active. And Father, we thank you that we are able to be seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. We thank you, Lord, that we are vessels of the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. We come before your throne, dear Lord, and ask that you would cause deliverance to flow to this young son.
Yes,
Father,
in Jesus' name.
We'll ask you right now to move in by your Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Do a great work in his life, dear Lord. Father, we pray that you will give him a sound mind.
Yes.
We pray, Lord, that you would bring salvation. If he's asked Jesus to come into his heart, we ask, Lord, that you would grow within him. If he doesn't know you, Lord, we pray that he will come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ.
Yes, Lord.
The transformer of every cell in our body, our mind, and our spirit, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yes. Amen. Amen. Please pray for my daughter's friend, David, who is addicted to prescription drugs and has asked for prayer to help overcome this addiction and get into the path of a good and healthy life again. Mary Ruth Amason, Prince Albert Assembly. Lord, we have had much deliverance this weekend for so many. We've seen your power, Lord. We've seen your grace. And we are so thankful, Lord, for what you've done in the lives of all that are here. But, Lord, we reach out to this one who is struggling, Lord, with these addictions. And we ask, Lord, that you will break the power that this has on them. This guy named David. And he'll find out, Lord, that these things are not, Lord, that will give him any kind of peace or joy, but really the joy that he needs is the joy of the Lord in his heart, in your peace. But, Lord, he needs help. And we ask that you, through your power, that you will deliver this man. And that you will deliver him from these drugs. And Lord, that there will be a new song that he will sing. It will be the song of victory, Lord. That once again his life will be changed around. And Lord, that if he has not found you, that he will find you.
Yes, amen.
And that he will find you with his life eternal. And Lord, we'll remember the scriptures. Whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So, Lord, we ask that you set him free tonight and deliver him. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. This is another request from Phyllis Shepherd for Celeste, her 10-year-old daughter. Please pray for Celeste. The last year or so, she's been having hallucinations of very tormenting things as well. She's trying to deal with past memories of extreme trauma, submitted by Phyllis. Let's just all lift our hands. Lord, our sister Phyllis has brought several needs to you, this camp, this feast. And Lord, we pray in Jesus' name, that you will raise up a standard against the enemy. Lord, we can't imagine the burden that our sister carries for her children. But we pray, Lord,
May your Holy Spirit be upon her in a double portion. And as you've told her already that from her hands would flow gifts of mercy and healing, we pray as she wraps her arms around her children, Lord, may the Holy Spirit deal with these situations. May there be healing and deliverance flow. Lord, may a double portion of what's been ministered here, Lord, flow unto them. We know they're hurting and they need, Lord, forgive to enter into forgiveness, Lord, and to drink of your Holy Spirit. Yes. And we pray, Lord, that will flow from our sister to them. Lord, may our sister be a conduit of your Holy Spirit and of your power to her children. And Lord, has been told her already, may she bless those at work with the power of the Holy Spirit also and give her relief. May the peace of God be upon her heart and mind, Lord. And may the rest of God be her portion. Yes. And we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
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 We'll pray for Ewald Wanigus. He's no longer able to walk. So let's bring him before the Lord. Also, I'd like to pray for Brother Miller again. We'd all join our hearts and bring him before the throne of grace.
Yes.
We pray for our dear brother Ewald.
Yes.
Praise his name.
We thank you, Lord, for the faithful servant. He's put lots of energy and effort in his life into the church. He served you faithfully, dear Lord. Father, we want to minister to him today by your anointing. We ask, Lord, that you would touch his body, his mind. We thank you, Lord, that you've given him a good mind. We thank you, Lord, that he's still influencing people in the home.
Yes.
There in the study, Bible study and ministry.
Yes.
Amen. And encouragement, dear Lord. We just pray, Lord, that you would make him effective in the area he is. Lord, touch his body, we pray. Strengthen him, we pray. We also want to pray for Brother Terry, dear Lord. He's also worked many, many years in the field, and we look forward to him being in the field, dear Father. We pray that you would touch him. Lord, as he's coming off of the prednisone, we pray, Lord, that you would just, all the symptoms that often come with coming off of this, we ask, Lord, that you would be merciful to him and gracious. Lord, the pains that he suffers, we pray that you will help him with them. And Lord, we just pray that he will sense your anointing and your spirit upon him. Oh, be with Ingrid, dear Lord. She often suffers from headaches and difficulties at times with her heart.
Yes.
Father, all of these things are a non-issue with you. Lord, you, the man that was laying there for many years, 38 years, you just said, take up your bed and walk. Father, that's how simple it is with when you say the word. Father, say the word to all these prayer requests tonight, we pray in
praise
Jesus' name. Jesus. Amen.
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 Praise
Amen.
The Lord.
Amen.
Diane and I were in Edmonton just 2 days ago, and we visited with Brother Ewald, and he appreciates your prayer, and he specifically asked me to bring greetings to you all from him there at the home. And he's certainly a good example of continuing to minister wherever you're planted. He is a shining light in the home where he is at as he ministers. And also, and personally, I'll just bring greetings from all the people in Texas. They send their greetings as well. So, thank you all.
Thank you.
Praise the Lord. I must say it's been good to be in the house of the Lord this weekend. And it's still good to be in the house of the Lord. I believe that there's been an advance in the kingdom of God. And we are moving on. It says that God is continuously progressive. And I believe that God is in the process of taking all our flesh away so that he will have the preeminence. Praise the Lord. We're all going through some difficult times. I believe the whole church is going through difficult times. That's really nothing new with people that have walked with God. And one of the guys that works with me, he said to me, "What's the longest you've ever gone without major problems?" And, you know, I had to think about that. It's been kind of a short time. You jump from one fire into the next fire, you know. And maybe that's just me. But I believe that the Lord has got a plan. I'd like to turn to Genesis 37. Story about Joseph. And if I have a hero in the Word, Joseph would be pretty high up there. I appreciate Joseph's life. Joseph 30 in Genesis 37 verse 4 it says, I'll just read from verse 1. Jacob dwelt in the land of wherein his father was a stranger, in the land of Canaan. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, being 17 years old, was feeding the flock with his brethren, and the lad was with sons of Bilhah and with the sons of Zilpah, his father's wives. And Joseph brought unto his father their evil report. Israel loved Joseph more than all his children, because he was the son of his old age, and he made him a coat of many colors. When his brethren saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. And when I think about Joseph, I think about David also. And there seems to be a real parallel with these two. David wasn't exactly liked either. He was the youngest. He was a shepherd. Samuel is sent to the house. And to anoint someone as king. And none of the older brothers were chosen. As we know, David was on the shepherd field, and they went to look for him, and he was the one that they anointed. When I think about abiding in the vine that we read about in John chapter 15, he's talking to us about abiding in the vine. He is the vine and we are the branches. And the fruit is on the branches. And if you cut the branch off, that branch doesn't take immediate effect. It'll stay green for a while, but in short order, it begins to wither. And that's what happens to our lives when we disconnect ourselves from the Lord. It doesn't take long, and you begin to see a fading in our spirit. I think about people that are not abiding in the vine. Who, when you read about his brethren, saw that their father loved him more than all his brethren, they hated him and could not speak peaceably unto him. The reason they couldn't speak peaceably unto him is because they weren't seeing the big picture. There's a lot of people in that don't see the big picture. An example of that would be the three counselors of Job. Job, as you read chapter 1 and 2, you'll see that there's a conversation happening in the realm of the Spirit. In heavenly places, God is there, the sons of God are there, Satan comes, there's a conversation. Have you considered my servant Job? And God says, you've got some parameters here, but God sets the parameters each and every time. God gave him some jurisdiction, some authority to test Job. And Job's counselors, they weren't in that heavenly place. They weren't there in that discussion between Satan and God. They were looking at the after effects and saying, well, you know, Job, things aren't really going that well. You know, you can't really be that great a person. If you were serving God properly, these things wouldn't be happening to you. There's conversations that are happening in other places. And, you know, and we need to be tuned in to the realm of the Spirit. We need to see, what's the big picture? What is God doing? Here his brothers, they're not happy. But when you look at the end of Joseph, you know that he ruled the whole finance then known. That's where he ended up. We're going to follow him through a bit. Joseph dreamed a dream, and he told it his brethren. They hated him yet more, and he said unto them, hear, I pray you, this dream which I have dreamed. For behold, we were binding sheaves in the field, and lo, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And behold, your sheaves stood round about and made obeisance to my sheaf. And his brethren said to him, shalt thou indeed reign over us, or shall thou indeed have dominion over us? And they hated him yet the more for his dreams and for his words. And he dreamed yet another dream, told his brethren, and said, behold, I have dreamed a dream more. And behold, the sun and the moon and the 11 stars made obeisance to me. And he told it to his father and his brethren, and his father rebuked him and said unto him, what is this dream that thou hast dreamed? Shall I and thy mother and thy brethren indeed come to bow down ourselves to the earth? And his brethren envied him, but his father observed the sayings. I kind of like that. His father He observed these sayings. He didn't just throw it out. His brothers went to feed their flocks, their father's flock in Shechem, and Israel said unto Joseph, "Do not thy brethren feed the flocks in Shechem? Come, I will send thee unto them." And he said to him, "Here am I." And he said, "Go to him. Go, I pray thee, see whether it be well with thy brethren and well with thy flocks, and bring me word again." So that he sent him out of the vale of Hebron, and he came to Shechem. I believe that Joseph knew that his fathers didn't like him, or that his brothers were not impressed with him. But his father sent him, and he went. You know, that's kind of how we're supposed to go as well. We don't always do the things that we would want to do. And a certain man found him, and behold, he was wandering in the field. And the man asked him, saying, What seekest thou?" You know, what I'm finding so amazing in this entire reading is that you could look at things and say, coincidence, coincidence, coincidence. You could look at your own life and say, coincidence, coincidence, coincidence. There's a big plan. Whatever your situation is today, it's not a coincidence. He said, "I seek my brethren. Tell me, I pray thee, where they feed their flock." And the man said, "They are departed hence, for I heard them say, 'Let us go to Dothan.'" Again, coincidence, you could say. I just happened to hear them say that. He's in Dothan. They're going there. And Joseph went after his brethren and found them in Dothan. And when they saw him afar off, even before he came near them, they conspired against him to slay him. These are rough times. He said one to another, "Behold, this dreamer comes. Come now, therefore, let us slay him and cast him into some pit, and we will say, 'Some evil beast has devoured him,' and we shall see what will become of his dreams." Sometimes the hours get a little dark, don't they? Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said unto them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit that is in the wilderness, and lay no hand upon him, that he might rid him out of their hands to deliver him to his father," or to his father again. And it came to pass, when Joseph was come unto his brethren, that they stripped Joseph out of his coat of many colors that was on him, and they took him and cast him into a pit, and the pit was empty, there was no water in it. Coincidence? Not really. It's a good thing. Pit was dry. I kind of put these things into my own life. You don't say, you know what, it's a good thing that happened, it's a good thing that happened, it's a good thing that happened. Could have been worse, right? Instead of losing 100,000, you could have lost 200, you know? They sat down to eat bread and lifted up their eyes and looked, and behold, a company of Ishmaelites. Wow, coincidental. No? They came from Gilead, and their camels bearing spicery and balm and myrrh, going to carry it down to Egypt. And Judah said unto his brothers, What profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites. And let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother, and our flesh and his brethren were content. They weren't all that unified either, the brothers. Then there passed by Midianites, merchantmen, and they drew, lifted up Joseph out of the pit and sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. And they brought Joseph into Egypt. Saw the parallel here of Jesus. He was sold also for silver. And Reuben returned unto the pit, and behold, Joseph was not in the pit, and he rent his clothes, and he returned unto his brethren and said, "The child is not, and I, whither shall I go?" And they took Joseph's coat and killed a kid of the goats, and dipped the coat in blood. And they sent the coat of many colors, and they brought it to their father and said, "This have we found. Know now whether it be thy son's coat or no." Many of you know this story. When you think about the Garden of Eden, where when Adam and Eve did the wrong thing, the first thing they did is they wanted to hide themselves behind a leaf. Usually when we do the wrong thing, we're looking for our own plan. We're looking, you know, one thing about lying, if you want to be a liar, you have to have a great memory. But eventually, the truth comes out. And it does. You know, you think about this story, you think about this day. They've sold off their brother. He's off to Egypt. We've got some cash. We're going to go tell Dad what happened. Few chapters down the road, there's a different story. There's a lot of time that's passed here. There's a different story. Verse 33, talking about his dad, he knew it and said, "It is my son's coat. An evil beast has devoured him. Joseph is without doubt rent in pieces. Jacob rent his clothes and put sackcloth upon his loins and mourned his sons many days. And all his sons and all his daughters rose up to comfort him, but he refused to be comforted, and he said, 'I will go down into the grave unto my mourning.' Thus his father wept for him, and the Midianites sold him into Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh's and captain of the guard." So this is the second sale. How important would you feel being sold two times? "Came to pass at the time that Judah went down from his brethren, turned into a certain..." I'm not going to read that. I'm going to read chapter 39 now. Let's go over to 39. "Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of the Pharaoh, captain of the guards, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither." Coincidence that this man was the buyer? Maybe the high bid? "The Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. He was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. His master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight and served him and made him overseer over his house and all that he had he put in his hand. And it came to pass that the time that he had made him overseer in his house and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake, and the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had in his house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand, and he knew not aught he had save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. You see here that I've employed a lot of people in my day, and I've always tried to be really, really careful what I do with these people. When you think about Joseph, the blessing of the Lord was on him. And because the blessing of the Lord was on him, the blessing of the Lord came on Potiphar's house in a greater way. The same thing happened to Jacob. Jacob, when he came to his father-in-law, he probably didn't have too many assets, but by the time he left, he had no idea what he even had. He owned a lot. So here, Joseph, Potiphar's house is being blessed because Joseph is there, and he left all that he had. Verse 7, I'll say, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, "Lie with me." But he refused and said unto his master's wife, "Behold, my master wotteth not that what is with me in the house, and he hath committed all that he hath to my hand. There's none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?" Kind of circled. He was really tempted or approached by Potiphar's wife, likely a fairly attractive gal. But he says, I can't do any wickedness towards her. And it wasn't going to be against her because it was, he says, how can by doing that, I would be sinning against God. We often don't really think about that much, you know. We're really not dealing with that person. We're sinning against God when we're sinning. And it came to pass as she spake to Joseph day by day that he hearkened unto her, not unto her, to lie by her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garments, saying, "Lie with me." And he left his garments in her hand and fled and got him out. And it came to pass when she saw that he had left his garment in her hand, she was fled forth, that she called unto the men of her house and spake unto them, saying, "See, he hath brought in an Hebrew unto us to mock us. He came in unto me to lie with me, and I cried with a loud voice." And it came to pass, when he heard that I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled and got him out. And she laid up his garment by her until his Lord came home. And she spake unto him according to these words, saying, "The Hebrew servant which thou hast brought unto us came in unto me to mock me. And I came to pass, as I lifted up my voice and cried, that he left his garment with me and fled out." What I see here is sometimes you have evidence. She literally had his clothing in her hand. And the accusation was that he was trying to pursue her. And what I come out of this with is that evidence is not always truth. You can have evidence, but it may not be the truth. It's only as you are abiding in the vine and knowing the source is when you'll really know. God is asking us to abide in the vine. He wants that same flow of the Spirit to be able to deal with all these issues and know what the truth is. Came to pass when his master heard the word of his wife, which she spake unto him, saying, after this manner did thy servant to me, that his wrath was kindled. And Joseph's master took him and put him into the prison, the place where the king's prisoners were bound, and he was there in prison. I thought, he seemed to have no shortage of people he put into prison. When things don't go quite right, in you go. He got some visitors after a while. He got the baker and the butler. They also met him there. The Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. Seems like wherever he went, he was successful. But this is a pretty low place to be successful, isn't it? In prison. Successful prisoner. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners that were in the prison. And whatsoever they did there, he was the doer of it. Kind of jumped into management, no matter where he was. And the keeper of the prison looked not to anything that was under his hand, because the Lord was with him, and that which he did, the Lord made it to prosper. Total trust, total confidence in him, even in prison. Do you think the prison guard thought he was guilty? Who knows? It came to pass after these things that the butler of the king of Egypt and his baker had offended their lord, the king of Egypt. They didn't tolerate too much. And the Pharaoh was wroth against two of his officers and against the chief of the butlers and against the chief of the baker. And he put them in the ward in the house of the captain of the guard in the prison where Joseph, the place where Joseph was bound. And certain of the guard charged Joseph with them, and he served them, and they continued a season in ward. And they dreamed a dream, both of them, each man his dream in one night, each man according to the interpretation of his dream, the butler and the baker of the king of Egypt, which were bound in prison. Joseph came in unto them in the morning and looked unto them, and behold, they were sad. He asked the Pharaoh's officers that were with him in the ward of his lord's house, saying, wherefore look ye so sadly today? I like that. I really like that statement. You know, here's a guy. You just think about his history. You know, sold twice. Was in the Pharaoh's house. He's in prison for doing the wrong thing. And he's saying, guys, why are you so depressed? I think that's pretty positive. What's the problem? Don't you know there's a big picture? Well, I don't know about the baker's picture. I think the butler had a much better picture, didn't he? We'll read about that. They said, we have dreamed a dream. There's no interpreter of it. Joseph said unto them, do not interpretations belong to God? Tell me them, I pray you. That's a good thing to know. You know that gift that you've been given? It's prophesied to you. It belongs to God. It's a gift to you. Interpretations of dreams, they belong to God. Guess what? God loves to share. Isn't that good? God loves to share. He's not going to share just with everybody. But if you're abiding in the vine, then that same sap is flowing from the trunk of the tree to the branch to the fruit. Interpretations belong to God. It's good to acknowledge that. If there's going to be any fruit, it's going to be because I've yielded myself to God. It's not any fruit that I'm going to do. The chief butler told his dream to Joseph and said to him, "My dream, behold, a vine was before me." Anyway, we can read about that. We will read it. In the vine were three branches, and it was as though it budded, and her blossoms shot forth, and the clusters thereof brought forth ripe grapes. And the Pharaoh's cup was in my right hand, or in my hand, and I took the grapes and pressed them into Pharaoh's cup. I gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, and Joseph said unto him, "This is the interpretation of it." Right now. Joseph walked in such a way that, you know, he had the answers because he was walking with God. So he wants us to walk. This is the interpretation of it. The three branches are 3 days, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thine head and restore thee unto the place, and thou shalt deliver Pharaoh's cup into his hand after the former manner when thou wast his butler. Got a condition here. But I've done this. Here's what I want you to do. Think on me when it shall be well with thee, and show kindness, I pray thee, unto me, and make mention of me unto Pharaoh, and bring me out of this house. Doesn't sound like he was really that enthralled with prison, even though he was kind of managing it. Must have liked working in Potiphar's house a little better. So he's interpreted a dream. My request is, let Pharaoh know. Indeed, I was stolen away out of the land of Hebrews, and here also I have done nothing that they should put me in the dungeon. But he's saying, why are you so depressed? To these other guys. In other words, you know, when life isn't all that great, when circumstances aren't 100%, make the best of it. The Lord is in control. Because this is not the end of the story. There's more. And I can tell you, saints of God, this is not the end of the story here. What we're experiencing is not the end of the story. There's a lot more to this. When the chief baker saw that the interpretation was good, he said to Joseph, I also was in a dream. Behold, I had three white baskets on my head, and in the uppermost baskets there was all manner of baked meats, and Pharaoh and the birds did eat them out of the basket upon my head. And Joseph answered and said, this is the interpretation thereof. The three baskets are 3 days, yet within 3 days shall Pharaoh lift up thy head from off thee, and shall hang thee on a tree, and the birds shall eat thy flesh from off of thee. And it shall come to pass the third day, which was Pharaoh's birthday, he made a feast unto all his servants. He lifted up the head of the chief butler and of the chief baker among his servants, and he restored the chief butler unto his butlership, And he gave the cup into Pharaoh's hand, and he hanged the chief baker as Joseph had interpreted to them. Yet did not the chief butler remember Joseph, but forgot him. Coincidental? Timing is everything, isn't it? Tells us that in the fullness of time, Jesus came. He didn't come in the Garden of Eden. He came in the fullness of time. When the angel visited Mary, she says, now it's time. And when it was the fullness of time, Jesus was born. Came to pass at the end of 2 full years, Pharaoh dreamed. Behold, he stood by the river. It's getting closer to the time right now. 2 years later, there came up out of the river 7 well-favored kine, fat-fleshed. They fed in the meadow. And on goes the dream then that... Verse 9, let's go to verse 9, chapter 41, verse 9. Then spake the chief butler unto Pharaoh, saying, I do remember my fault this day. Something's coming to mind. The king had a dream. He had a dream 2 years ago. And Pharaoh was wroth with his, in verse 10, and put me in ward in the captain of the guard's house, both me and the chief baker. We dreamed a dream in a one night, and I and he, we dreamed each man according to the interpretation of this of his dream, and there was there with us a young man, a Hebrew, servant to the captain of the guard, and we told him, and he interpreted to us our dream. To each man according to his dream, he did interpret. And it came to pass, as he interpreted to us, so it was me he restored unto my office, and him he hanged. Then Pharaoh sent and called Joseph, and they brought him hastily out of the dungeon. And he shaved himself and changed his raiment and came unto the Pharaoh. I think there was a fair amount of confidence here that he's our man. It's not like the king went to the prison and said, you know, let's have an interview here. They had confidence. They shaved this guy and brought him to the king. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have dreamed a dream. There is none that can interpret it, and I have heard say of thee, that thou canst understand a dream to interpret it. And Joseph answered Pharaoh, saying, it is not in me. God shall give Pharaoh an answer of peace. We don't have any resources. The sooner we figure that out, the better. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Pharaoh said unto Joseph, in my dream, I stood... Okay, we'll skip on that a bit. Chapter 41, verse 32. He's really talking about there's going to be 7 years of plenty and 7 years of drought. Verse 32 says, for that dream was double with Pharaoh twice. It is because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Therefore, let Pharaoh look out a man discreet and wise and set him over the land of Egypt. This is Joseph's counsel to Pharaoh. This is what you need to do. Let the Pharaoh do this and let him appoint officers over the land and take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years. Right away, you know, he says, you know, what's a fifth part?
20%, right? 20%. 7 good years, 20% of your crop comes there. That's what you need to do. He didn't kind of keep the secret. He just told him right out. He didn't say, you know what, I really got the answer here for you. I know exactly what the plan is, you know, but you kind of need to choose me, you know. He's willing to get the information out there and just hand it out free of charge. Because God's going to do something here. You know, we don't have to try and, you know, keep information so that we become valuable, you know. He says, take up the fifth part of the land of Egypt in the 7 plenteous years. I kind of did a little calculation on that, you know. There's probably a lot of good mathematicians here, but 20% times 7 was like 140%. So if they were going to keep eating like they always had, it would last 1.4 years. Unless I don't have my math correct. Is that about right? So, anyway, they must have started eating a little different after the 7 lean years. When it's lean, you kind of eat a little leaner. Then let them gather all the food of those good years and that come and lay up corn under the hand of Pharaoh, and let them keep food in the cities, and that food shall be for store to the land against the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, and the land perish not through the famine. And the thing was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants. And Pharaoh said unto his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom the Spirit of God is? You know, he was in kind of rough company there. A lot of heathen people. But this guy kind of always seemed to be connected to the vine. I thought to myself, you know, verse 46 says there, Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. You know how old he was when he got sold? He was 17. So now he's 30 years old. And I thought to myself, why wouldn't he? Well, you know, I'll just read here a little bit more. Verse 41, Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt. Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand and put it upon Joseph's hand and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen and put a gold chain about his neck, and he made him to ride upon the second chariot which he had, and they cried before him, bowed the knee, and he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh called Joseph's name a long name. And he gave him to wife, Asenath, the daughter of Potipharah, priest of On. And Joseph went out over all the land of Egypt. Joseph was 30 years old when he stood before Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Joseph went out from the presence of Pharaoh and went throughout all the land of Egypt. And in the 7 plenteous years, the earth brought forth handfuls. And he gathered up all the food of the 7 years which were in the land of Egypt, and laid up the food in the cities, the food of the field which was round about every city laid he in the same. And Joseph gathered corn as the sand of the sea, very much, until he left numbering, for it was without number. It seems like there was bumper crops here. There's a lot to this story, and Joseph, eventually, his dream comes to pass. His brothers bow down before him, and at the, quit reading there. But the he says when their dad died, the brothers got scared. They thought, you know, this guy is going to get even with me. And he said, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. And when you think about your circumstances in your life, you know, there's a lot of things that go on. Sometimes, you know, there's opposition even from people that you know, people that you think shouldn't oppose you. But God has a big plan. God is going to work out every detail of what's going on in your life right now. It's going to be good at the end. You know, God isn't putting wimps into the kingdom. He's putting people in that have had quite a bit of adversity. And you know, if you don't have a, you know, how can you be an overcomer if you don't have anything to overcome? You know, we would just love to have life go smooth as glass. I can't say that I like problems. I haven't quite arrived to it where it says, you know, invite them as friends. It just doesn't seem to, I haven't gotten that far yet. But when you see the difficulties that you're going through in life, and you see that that's going to do a work in my life that nothing else could do, that's a wonderful place to be. I've had a lot of trials lately in the last year, lots of trials, much bigger than me, much, much bigger than me. I've said yes to things that were impossible. Because I had the right motive to say yes. And then I watched God work in my life. The problems were way over my head. God specializes in problems that are over your head. He wants us out of control. He wants Him to be in control. God is good. He's good all the time. People have done things in my life that if I told you about them, you would say, why don't you hate that person? Why don't you hate that person? But you know what it is in my heart? I feel sorry for that person. I feel sorry for that person to be in that situation where their intentions are wicked and evil and destructive. I check my heart to say, you know what, do I need to stand here? Do I have unforgiveness in my heart and life? And I said, no, I don't have anything against this person. This is a big problem for me. This is This is a life, not a life-threatening, but it's an insurmountable issue in my life right now. And as you read the Word of God and you begin to see men like Joseph that walk through life in victory lane, conditions aren't always good. But God is always good. And God is always with you. And when you're in prison, why are you depressed? What's the problem? Wouldn't that be nice to have some victory like that? And God has a people. You know, we have gifts, and the gifts become a ministry. But we have different ministries, but we have one ministry that's the same for everyone. And that is the ministry of reconciliation. That means that things went out of kilter in the Garden of Eden, and they're going to be completely in kilter, if there's such a word, in the kingdom age. And we have the ministry of reconciliation. And if you really know that, if you really know that you have the ministry of reconciliation, then you will not have anything against anyone. It will not happen. Because you're going to look at things like Joseph went through and you're going to say, you know, there's a bigger picture here. God has everything under control. I might be in prison today. Tomorrow I'm going to sign the checks. You know, when the king gave him that ring, you know that ring, you know, you stamp it down and that's like signing a check. He's in charge. You know, the Pharaoh didn't say, well, you know, I'll override Joseph. I don't think he ever overrode him. Joseph did such a good job that he just said, you know, whatever you say is good. It's good with me. Good with me. I've got employees like that. You know, I just have all the confidence in the world. They can just go out. They have signing authority. I trust them. But you don't do that very quickly. You do that with people that are abiding in the vine. Spiritually, for us to abide in the vine, be connected. Let the Spirit, let the ministry of reconciliation be in your hearts. Don't leave this camp with unresolved issues. If you want to go into the kingdom, if you want to rule and reign in the kingdom of God, you've got to offload. I think there was a lot of work done here. There was a tremendous amount of work done. You know, the scripture says that since John the Baptist, the heavens suffered violence. When John the Baptist came on the scene, there was activity in heaven, in heavenly places. And he says, when John the Baptist came on the scene, the heavens suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. And John the Baptist's message was, repent. We must repent for the things that we're holding against other people, things that are troubling us, unforgiveness. God is shining His light on that big time in our lives. Lord bless you.
I will go on. Kingdom, lead me on. I want to go on in the kingdom. Lead me on. Make me alive in the Spirit, pressing on with the saints of God. I want to go on in the kingdom lead me on. I want to go on in the kingdom, lead me on. I want to go on in the kingdom, lead me on. Make me alive in the Spirit, pressing on with the saints of God. I want to go on in the kingdom, lead me on.
Is there any announcements?
So we need dorm parents for this evening. Two ladies in the girls' dorm and men, two men in the boys' dorm. So meet me up at the front, please. Thank you.
Two quick requests from the kitchen. They would like to know how many will not be here for dinner tomorrow. We just have a quick show of hands. If you know you won't be here for dinner tomorrow, 25%. And if there are any of you that would like to have food to take for the road for lunch, either after breakfast or after dinner, please just feel free to go in and they'll arrange to get some things together for you for the road.
Just a couple of announcements about registration things and then a lost and found item. First, regardless of what my husband says, I am not perfect, and so there were a couple of glitches this year with some rooms, and I just want to thank you for your patience and understanding while we got things kind of figured out there. They weren't major, but and then also I was asked to announce, and so that everybody knows, because we haven't had the registration desk in its current location for more than maybe three other camps. We will have a map on that bulletin board that's beside the registration desk. We will have that there from noon, the day that camp starts, throughout camp. So if you arrive...